From Feature Story News in London, I'm Natalie Powell. The US Secretary of State Rex Tillerson has ordered a review of Iran's nuclear deal despite the Trump administration confirming that Iran is in full compliance with the JCPOA, the Agreement on Iran's Nuclear Program. But Secretary Tillerson says the deal is inadequate. Our US correspondent Priscilla Huff reports.
Months after promising to immediately rip up the JCPOA, the Trump administration is now confirming they want to fully review it, even though they've also confirmed Iran is in compliance on its nuclear program. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says the deal is just inadequate.
We buy them off for a short period of time, and then someone has to deal with it later. We just don't see that that's a prudent way to be dealing with Iran, certainly not in the context of all of their other disruptive activities.
Arms control campaigners are happy to see that the JCPOA has been confirmed, but some hope that the Trump administration is figuring out new ways to pressure Iran. Secretary Tillerson says while policy toward Iran is under review, it's clear Tehran's actions threaten the U.S., its allies, and the world. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
For more on what our reporters are doing, visit Feature Story News on Facebook, or you can follow at Feature Story on Twitter. Pakistan's Supreme Court has cleared Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif of corruption charges leaked in the 2015 Panama Papers. It has, however, ordered a further investigation into money transfers, though the Prime Minister and his family deny any wrongdoing after being linked to offshore accounts in the information leak. The Australian government has unveiled new citizenship rules. Arthur Stevens has more.
Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull insists citizenship must reflect Australian values and applicants must prove they're integrated into the community, as he unveiled tighter requirements for new applicants. Among the citizenship reforms applying to all new applicants are requirements to show the steps they've taken to integrate into and contribute to the Australian community, including evidence of employment, membership of community organisations and school enrolment for all eligible children. It hasn't taken long for right-wing One Nation leader Pauline Hanson to again take credit for the government's latest crackdown. Senator Hanson says it's good to see the Prime Minister's finally acting on the suggestions she made to him about the citizenship test. Arthur Stevens, Melbourne.
A Russian court has thrown out a sex discrimination case brought by an air stewardess against the airline carrier Aeroflot. The case argued that the company favours slim and attractive cabin crew. Flight attendants need to fill in application forms detailing their height, weight and clothing size, but the operator argued that there was a minimum height requirement because staff needed to store luggage in overhead lockers, while weight impacts on fuel. From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Thank you very much and a warm welcome to the programme to you. Hope you've had a good old Thursday. It is April 20th, 2017, of course. My name is Richie Allen. Now, Twitter is open to you for the next couple of hours. Well, for this programme anyway. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. Should you wish to tweet me with an opinion, I'll be glad if you do. You can email richie@richieallen.co.uk. That's very unreliable at the moment. I'm not getting emails all the time to that email address. So I recommend, until we sort that out, that you tweet at Richie Allen Show. Good to be with you.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on DavidIke.com. It's the Richie Allen Show. Brought to you in association with DavidIke.com. And now, live from Manchester, England, here is Richie Allen.
Now, I welcome back to the pro... Excuse me, talk about a frog in the throat there. Let me do that again. I welcome back to the programme the meteorologist and the founder of Weather Action, Piers Corbin. Now, Piers has been contacted by the Telegraph newspaper, big article in the paper today, Piers saying that the BBC is evil and biased, and also that he does believe, despite the establishment bias against his brother Jeremy Corbyn, that Corbyn can win the forthcoming general election for the Labour Party. Piers Corbyn joins the programme. And on that, speaking of that bias, Nick Robinson, political heavyweight commentator at the BBC, tweeted today, and I quote you, without embellishing it, he tweeted, did Robinson, "No one should be surprised that at Jeremy Corbyn is running versus the establishment," in inverted commas, "and is long on passion and short on details. Story of his life," tweets Nick Robinson. Now, you know, dear listener, I don't vote and I don't support any political party. That is the essence of bias, and it is an untenable thing to do for any reporter, let alone political correspondent for the BBC. We'll talk to Piers Corbyn about that. And coming up in the second hour of the programme, not being with us for a long time, the naval and commercial aviator extraordinaire Field McConnell comes back to the programme. We've a lot to talk about, including institutional paedophilia and much more besides. Field McConnell in the second hour, approaching 6 minutes past the hour this Thursday. We're broadcasting live on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, officially and verifiably the most listened to online radio station in the world, by the way. Wonderful achievement by Fab. We're also on Alternate Current Radio, TuneIn Radio, and other places as well. So it's good to be with you. And I'm going to give a quick plug to the Boiler Room programme, produced and presented by Hessian Spore and Friends, which will be live at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 2 a.m. British Summer Time here in the UK. Great programme on Alternate Current Radio. Let's crack on. David is in Gothenburg, by the way. If you're in Sweden and you want to check out, few remaining tickets left for that, go to the Worldwide wakeup.com. Now, speaking of Jeremy Corbyn, he's been out and about. We heard from the Lib Dems on this programme this week. We heard from UKIP. Let's hear from Jeremy Corbyn. He gave his first speech today ahead of the June 8th election. Busy old time for all of us in the media covering this. Jeremy Corbyn today.
"We don't fit in their cosy club. We're not obsessed with the tittle-tattle of Westminster or Brussels. We don't accept that it is natural for Britain to be governed by a ruling elite, the city and the tax dodgers. We don't accept that the British people we don't accept that the British people just have to take what they're given, at that they don't deserve better. And in a sense, the establishment and their camp followers in the media are quite right. I don't play by their rules. And if a Labour government is elected on the 8th of June, we won't play by their rules either. Theresa May will insist that this is an election about Brexit. She will try to downplay the issues that affect people's lives every day, and instead turn the election into an ego trip about her own failing leadership and the machinations of the coming negotiations in Brussels. It is only Labour that will focus on what kind of country we want to have after Brexit."
Jeremy Corbyn today. Now, watching the 24-hour news channels today, I had a good old laugh. I was watching Sky News earlier today. Adam Bolton presents a programme for them every morning between 10 and 11. It's a political commentary programme, effectively. Bolton interviewing people, offering opinions on the big stories of the day. I don't like Adam Bolton. I bet you're surprised to hear that. I think he's a very smug, nasty little man indeed. Now, he interviewed the Tory former Work and Pension Secretary Ian Duncan Smith, closely followed by an interview with Barry Gardner, who's the Labour MP and Shadow International Trade Secretary. Let me paint the scene for you. In the studio was Bolton conducting an interview with Ian Duncan Smith. To the left of Bolton, quietly waiting for Duncan Smith's interview to end and his interview to begin, was Labour MP Barry Gardner. Why they didn't debate one another with Bolton moderating, I've no idea. Well, I do, really. Fascinating. Turned out not to be a good morning for Bolton, as he exposed his own conservative bias. Not that we didn't know. We didn't need it to be exposed. We knew anyway. But it was so bad today, Bolton might as well have pulled his own trousers down, got his todger out, and waved it around in front of the cameras. Such was the nature of his self-exposure. It was dreadful, this. He asks Duncan Smith about migration. Listen.
Would you like to see a loosening of these top targets for immigration?
The question about immigration is a very straightforward one. She has said very clearly yesterday in an interview that she intends absolutely to stand by the Brexit vote, which is to take back control of her borders on the European migration. So that gives her greater flexibility in how she therefore controls migration. Now, whether or not we stick to a target or not, I have no particular view about it. I'm quite content that we set out to stabilise and reduce migration overall. But now we can do that because we're controlling migration.
Because that phrase used by David Cameron, tens of thousands, was a problem for her as Home Secretary because she never got it, immigration down to below 100,000. It's been a problem for her as Prime Minister. So it might be reasonable to admit that, you know, you just can't do it by numbers.
Dreadful stuff. Bolton should be hammering Duncan Smith. Politely, of course, Bolton should be saying, why should we believe you? Why should we believe her? She did nothing to stop mass immigration as Home Secretary. She screwed it up. She gave figures on net migration targets. Didn't manage it. But you see, Bolton is speaking to his very good friend, Ian Duncan Smith. And he says, as you heard there, it might be reasonable to admit that you can't reduce migration by numbers. Softball stuff. Here's Duncan Smith's response to that.
If you were to go out there and I think ask the public what did they want and what do they want, the vast majority would say they want migration controlled, they want it reduced overall. Yeah. Now, they don't themselves have targets, they just know that there's been issues. I mean, after all, the scale of the migration from Eastern Europe particularly has on a greater scale than anything historically in the UK. 3 million in the space of about 6 or 7 years was really overwhelmed certain communities. So they want it controlled and reduced. And on that, Theresa May absolutely is very clear. Now, whether you have targets or not, sometimes I myself didn't like things like targets that we produced in the last manifesto because I think they box you in. But the pledge to control and reduce migration, that's one she can deliver on.
And one other one that we know there's been live debate in the Conservative Party and in the Cabinet about, the question of whether students, foreign students, should be included in the total. The Times suggesting that maybe the Chancellor and the Home Secretary will have their way and foreign students will be taken out of any future
foreign
total.
Students, eh? You see, there was a time when I came up and served my apprenticeship at a renowned and hugely successful commercial radio station. So I know what I'm talking about. There was a time when that sort of ineptitude would have seen Bolton shown the door. It's inexcusable. The public wouldn't have a clue, says Duncan Smith. They don't know what's going on. They don't understand numbers and targets. The public just wanted control, but they don't know anything about the numbers. We couldn't put a number on it. And Bolton sits there, doesn't challenge him, moves on to students. Shambolic journalism. Bolton could have said, well, actually, Mr. Duncan Smith, the public wants a complete end to benefits being given to immigrants arriving without work, not because they're racist, but because they're tired of it. The public wants an end to people coming here to use the NHS to the detriment of UK citizens. The public wants an end to wages being driven down by employers paying migrants less than the living wage. God help the migrants, by the way, not their fault. Far less cover that in the media, how many employers pay migrants less than the minimum wage or the living wage. Under the table, immigration is a massive issue. The Tories have done nothing to slow it down, nothing to tackle it at all. Their own targets on net migration were laughable and totally untenable. But Adam Establishment Bolton had a good old laugh with Ian Duncan Smith. Now, sadly for Bolton, sitting on the other side of the table, waiting to be interviewed by Bolton, at the conclusion of his chat with Ian Duncan Smith, was Barry Gardner, Labour MP, as I mentioned, Shadow International Trade Secretary. Gardner was less than impressed with Adam Bolton.
Anyway, Mr. Gardner joins me now.
Adam, why did you let him off the hook?
On what?
On immigration. If that had been a Labour minister sitting there who had failed on their key pledge on immigration to bring it down...
I pointed it out to him.
No, what you pointed out to him was, well, the lowest she got it was to 100,000.
No, I didn't say that.
You did. I heard you.
I said she didn't get it below 100,000.
Indeed, she didn't
failed.
Get it below 100,000. Yeah. And in fact, it's now up to almost 300,000.
Yeah, right.
I mean... It, yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But didn't
hit his targets. We accept that, and I don't think there's any dispute.
And they didn't
about
hit their targets on the deficit either.
No. But
I mean,
they promised to end the deficit by
2015. No,
right.
They're not going to end it by 2020.
Yeah, I understand that.
And now they're saying, actually, we've made all these pledges. And we're not doing it.
No, but the issue I want to ask you is whether...
You skewer him. You're supposed to be the tough guy of Sky News, and you let him off the hook.
I didn't. I asked him the questions, and
you didn't ask him anything. Wonderful stuff by Gardner. Not that I have any sympathy with Gardner, who, when asked later on what his immigration policy would be, he said, well, we don't really have one. We take in as many migrants as we need, depending on the economic situation of the time, said Gardner. But no commitment one way or another to genuinely tackling immigration. So I'm not giving Gardner a pass, to use that bloody American term. But Bolton is dreadful. Dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. And exposed in I suppose, an irrecoverable manner. Not that it matters, it's not going to affect Bolton. We saw the tweet from Nick Robinson from the BBC today. It doesn't affect these guys. They don't have to answer for their conduct. But it was there for everybody to see today. Ian Duncan Smith chuckling away with Bolton. Good old laugh about immigration policies and manifesto promises. And Gardner said, hang on a second there. You ain't doing your job. You're not fit for purpose. But that is the essence of corporate commercial media today. And I know we bang on about this a lot on this programme, but I thought it was worth pointing out again. Now, Nigel Farage was on BBC Radio 4 this morning. I was going to play you the clip, but I don't need to. On the John Humphrey's programme, the Today programme earlier, Farage said, I don't know if I'm going to run or I don't know if I'm not. I don't know if I'm more useful in Brussels or more useful here. But apparently, the BBC are reporting in the last few minutes that he has said he will not be standing in the general election on the 8th of June. He will not be. Okay? Just to answer a question, by the way, which came in today. George Galloway was on this programme 2 weeks ago. He's contesting the Gorton Boy election, which is necessary because of the death of Sir Gerald Kaufman. And with the calling of the general election, so people were wondering here, would there be a by-election and a general election for the Gorton seat? The answer is no. It's been announced today. The Gorton by-election due to take place on the 4th of May, along with the local elections, will not take place until the 8th of June. So that's been put back to the 8th of June. It makes sense. Why would you elect an MP in a by-election and then 4 weeks later that MP have to defend that seat again? So the people who are interested in that and who are asking me questions, there is your answer, okay? The Gorton by-election will take place on June 8th along with all the other seats. Yeah, right. The election for every other seat in the country. Faisal tweets, nice outing of Adam Bolton on indecent media exposure with his Tory bias hanging out and waving in the air for all to see. Like I said yesterday, these are the bastard children of Bill O'Reilly, Adam Bolton, Kay Burley, the LBC cabal, the clowns on LBC. They're the bastard children of O'Reilly. Investigative journalism is dead. Being completely neutral and asking serious questions is dead. It's all about commentary now. Look at Robinson's tweet again. It is untenable that Nick Robinson can be the senior political correspondent for the BBC when he tweets today. Again, I say word for word. No one should be surprised that Jeremy Corbyn is running V the establishment and is long on passion and short on details. Story of his life. There was a time when you'd have been fired for that. When I was producing the mid-morning talk show at WLRFM in Ireland, one of the most popular shows in the country in terms of commercial radio, I was told in no uncertain terms I couldn't fraternise with local politicians. I couldn't be seen drinking or eating with local politicians. And if I ever said anything on air that lent towards bias, that lent towards me favouring a party or a politician, I would be out on my fecking arse. Gone. End of story. If you interview a Sinn Féin politician, a Fianna Fáil politician, a Labour politician, or a Socialist Workers' Party politician, if there is any inherent difference in those interviews and your conduct in those interviews, Richie, you are out on your fucking arse. We have the chief political correspondent from the BBC saying, story of his life. Corbyn's a bit of an idiot. Story of his life. And what is it now? 20 minutes past 7 on Thursday, April 20th. And as far as I know, Robinson is still in a job. Quick break, back in a minute with more. This is your Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live. Well, davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2 and Alternate Current Radio.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Virtually every transaction that involves a child is valuable to somebody.
We intend to show everyone the real reason children are being removed at an alarming rate.
No, this is awful.
The baby's not been seen by the doctor or nothing.
They are psychopathic.
They have got the legal right to kill children now, because that's what they do.
Traffic 2, available now at premiumonpictures.co.uk.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Welcome back to the programme. Coming up in a couple of minutes, Piers Corbyn joins me. Looking forward to that. In the meantime, here's music from Bruce Springsteen. This is your Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, alternatecurrentradio.com and davidicke.com. Bookmark davidicke.com/headlines. Here's the boss. Springsteen's This Life on the Richie Allen Show. Bit of a problem with Piers Corbyn. I'm not too impressed, to be honest. Shortly before I took the music, I had a text message from him asking me to text him. He's supposed to be on Skype in an office where we can talk properly, but it seems like he's out and about and I can't reach him at the moment. I will, of course, keep trying, as long as I can keep trying anyway, to try and get him on the programme. He's agreed to come on the programme because he was featured in an article in the Daily Telegraph today, British broadsheet newspaper, and I've tweeted the article out. In fact, I shared it on our Facebook page today. The subject of it was picked up by most of the national media today. He was very critical of the BBC, accused them of bias, institutional bias, effectively. He said they were evil for criticising Jeremy Corbyn, but went on to say that despite all of that, he said that the Corbynistas will deliver an election victory for Jeremy Corbyn and Labour. Spoke to him very early this morning. He agreed to come on the programme. He's been on before talking about the hoax that is climate change, at least man-made climate change. Anyway, he's been on the programme regularly and he agreed to come on to talk about this. I'm wondering, in the meantime, has somebody in the Labour Party contacted Piers Corbyn on behalf of his brother and asked him not to do these types of interviews? Not necessarily with this programme, but interviews in general where he's having a go at the BBC or anybody else. I'm just wondering about that. So we'll wait and see. I'll give him a couple of minutes and we'll try him again. I've texted him and asked him what the bloody hell is going on, as it were. But I'm going to take the opportunity while I've got a couple of minutes, hectic old studio this normally, to mention something I posted a short time ago on Facebook, something I posted back in 2015. In fact, something I post generally wherever I've worked in recent years before any election. And it's just a statement about the position of, I can't say the position of the programme because I am the programme, really. My position on elections, I mentioned today, I haven't voted in a general election since the Irish general election of 2002, which I covered for WLRFM in Waterford. I've not voted in any general election since then. Haven't done that because having begun to see things a bit differently, I came to the realisation that voting for any man or woman, however nice that man or woman might be, and however some of the things they say on your doorstep might resonate with me or you or anybody else, it doesn't make a difference. It's a futile process because we don't live in a democracy. We don't. I mentioned again today, this isn't new. It isn't groundbreaking. This isn't award-winning stuff. You know, many men and women have said this long before me, but I said today, and I believe it, what's going to happen in the next few weeks in this country can be explained very simply. We're going to be asked to choose between a bunch of mostly multi-millionaires who have got ties to and roots in international finance and global corporations. Most of them, not all of them, but most of them, as I said today, the vast majority. As we heard from various commentators on this programme, most recently people like George Galloway, most recently, but many other men and women who've worked in UK politics, Paul Flynn of Labour and others, most of the members of Parliament today are members of Zionist groups like the Friends of Israel, the Labour Friends of Israel, the Conservative Friends of Israel. None of them have ever spoken out about Israel. Again, apart from the exceptions, Galloway, Kaufman, Skinner, Jeremy Corbyn, Michael Meacher, rest in peace, and others who have spoken out on these issues. Central banking, the creation of money, the Rothschild Rockefeller cartel, those families, the European royal families, their relationship with all of this. None of these people have ever taken it on. So I don't vote. It's as simple as that. And I mentioned today because I get called a hypocrite sometimes. Because we have some people who listen to the programme, some people. I think the majority of people who listen are open-minded. Some people who listen are a bit dim, not too bright. Why do you interview politicians then, Richie? Well, maybe. maybe it's a good thing to bring politicians on programmes and ask them the sorts of questions that I put to Khalid Khan from UKIP last night, that I put to Roger Helmer, that I put to Michael Meacher when I used to interview Michael regularly. Questions about central banks, about Zionism. That's why we do it. It's not because I believe in them or I endorse them. I don't endorse them at all. And I mentioned today as well, my opinion is no more valid or more important than yours. It is not. I don't tell you what to do. I never will. I certainly won't tell you what you shouldn't do. Never going to do that. And I wouldn't think any less of anybody for voting. Doesn't make me more awake than them. I'm more awake than you. I know more than you. Utter bollocks that. I don't know more than you or anybody else. But I choose to do what I choose to do based on my experiences. So I've never endorsed and never will endorse a politician or a party. In fact, even if I did hold a party sacred or a politician sacred, I wouldn't tell you about it. I wouldn't do it. And I wouldn't give them, you know, the sort of platform that maybe other programmes give to people whom they endorse or whom they agree with. I would never do that. I'm old school. It's absolutely wrong to do that. So as I mentioned today, I'll continue to cover the election here and the elections in Europe as best as we possibly can, try to figure out what's going on, because ultimately you are not my target audience. You have a fair idea of what's going on. You and me, we kind of know things are not as they seem. That's what brings us together. That's what we have in common. But the real target audience of this programme are the men and women who really don't know what's going on. Not because they're less intelligent than us, far from it, but because they're locked into the system, locked into getting their news from the Daily Mail or the Daily Telegraph or Sky News or the BBC. Those are the people that we want to reach, and we have to reach them on their terms. There's no other way to do it. Can't be done by sitting back and waiting for people to come on to davidicke.com or Fab Radio 2 or alternate current radio to listen to the Richie Allen Show. They're not going to do it. Oh, he's got that David Icke on. He's got that Jim Mars. They're crazy. Got to reach them on their level. So we got to engage with them on their terms. So there's no inherent contradiction, I don't believe anyway, you might think different, in covering these issues. They're not, because it's a great way to explain to people and to expose for people the reality behind the so-called system of democracy we have. No doubt about that. So it's 26 minutes to the top of the hour. Not heard from Piers Corbyn. I'll go to the Twitter and read some of your tweets now. A lot of tweets coming in. Good to know you're online. Do tweet at Richie Allen Show. Set up a Twitter account if you haven't before. You don't have to make it one where you give all your details. Just set up any old account and on you go. Elizabeth Eta. Elizabeth, welcome to the programme. Richie, the banks own the corporation United Kingdom. The banks own the corporation called United Kingdom, and the politicians do their bidding, ergo our vote does not exist. That from Elizabeth. Thank you, Elizabeth. Absolutely spot on. Couldn't argue with that. Hi to Cartoon Drunk. This is the only thing about dummy accounts that drives me mad, the names. But I forgive, I forgive, I absolve, I understand. He says, or she says, it'll be the lowest turnout for any general election in UK history. It might be, it might very well. John Briggs tweets, Richie, look at Rick Mayall's last film. Mentioned 9/11, get the clip off YouTube. It's interesting, says John Briggs. I will have a look at that, John, no doubt about it. Lucas says, nice. There are no nice politicians. It's like saying, meet the nice shark. Promise it won't take a chunk out of you, says Luga. But you see, Luga, I had the pleasure of meeting Sir Gerald Kaufman. I had the pleasure of meeting Michael Meacher. They were nice guys. I interviewed Tony Benn many years ago. Very, very, very honest and very, very principled man. Grumpy old sod, off air. Could be curmudgeonly, Tony Benn. But he was a nice guy and they meant what they said. But you can't change anything in that system, which is run, it's owned, it's run, and it's fed to us lock stock by the types of people I mentioned earlier on. So, yeah, so there you go. Hi to Sean McGrath. How you doing, Sean? In conversation there about moving to the mountains. Don't know anything about that, didn't? I was going to say something bad there. I won't say it there. Hi to Andy, who said, Richie, I can't wait to hear Piers. Please put a question to him about geoengineering. It's time he was honest about it. Andy, we wouldn't be talking about climate change or geoengineering if he was to be on the programme tonight. We've spoken about these issues before. When I brought up spraying and geoengineering, he was quite happy to talk about it. And in his opinion, he was happy to accept that it is going on. So I don't see Piers Corbyn as having been in the past been dishonest about spraying. He said it before. He's talked about it before on this programme. If you go to our YouTube channel, that's youtube.com, look for The Richie Allen Show. And if you look for the interviews I've conducted with Piers Corbyn, he's often talked to me about spraying. He certainly has. At Richie Allen Show on Twitter, richie@richieallen.co.uk. One of the things I was going to bring up with Piers Corbyn, and I'll mention it now because it's not looking like he's going to come on at this stage. He's been texted to the two different mobile numbers he has, and he's just not answering me, despite texting me at 7:03 to say, I'm out and about, you've got to get me on the mobile. This is the sort of detail you don't get on BBC Radio, by the way, the sort of production detail. But I'm kind of cheesed off that he's not there. A little bit more than cheesed off, because I think there's something else going on there. But anyway, one of the things I was going to ask him, fairly, because we do decency and we do humility and we do fairness here. We don't shout at people. I was going to ask him, isn't it true, Piers, that Jeremy Corbyn is the establishment? How could he be anti-establishment? How could any leader of the Labour Party be anti-establishment? And one of the things I was going to put to him, the handling by the Labour Party of the Ken Livingstone debacle, the former Mayor of London, who was accused of anti-Semitism, accused of racism. There was a massive demand by the British media to have him kicked out of the Labour Party because he talked about the Havre Agreement between the Nazi Party and Zionist Jews in Germany, 1932. He talked all about this, did Livingstone. All of it is true, historically accurate. He was called racist and he was not supported by his party, neither by Jeremy Corbyn nor by John McDonnell. Now, John McDonnell, the shadow chancellor and Jeremy Corbyn's best mate, was on Sky News on Sunday last, the Easter Sunday. Yeah, it was Easter Sunday. And he talked briefly about anti-Semitism in the Labour Party. And I would have been putting this question to Piers Corbyn about the establishment. Listen to John McDonnell.
And I was quite angry about that. I've known Ken, I was his deputy on the GLC, we've worked together, we've fallen out a number of times as well, but I'm always straight with him, he should have apologised. This came about because my parliamentary private secretary, Naz Shah, made a statement which was appalling about sending Jews from Israel to America. I immediately asked her to stand down and she did. What did she do? She apologised immediately, realised the mistake that she'd made and was shocked by it, apologised immediately, met the Jewish community and has been applauded since for learning the lesson.
Learning
That's
the
what
lesson.
I want Ken to do.
Learning the lesson, said John McDonnell. Naz Shah, who said that the Jews should move to America or America should take in all these Jews, something to that effect, if they want to support them that much. Nothing racist or anti-Semitic about that. Little bit crass, maybe, could have been worded a bit better. Learned their lesson, said McDonald. I'm going to play that entire segment again. Listen to this because it's very important. It goes to the heart of this idea that McDonald, Jeremy, or anybody else in the Labour Party is anti-establishment. Listen to this.
And I was quite angry about that. I've known Ken, I was his deputy on the GLC. We've worked together, we've fallen out a number of times as well. But I'm always straight with him. He should have apologised. This came about because my parliamentary private secretary, Naz Shah, made a statement which was appalling about sending Jews from Israel to America. I immediately asked her to stand down and she did. What did she do? She apologised immediately, realised the mistake that she'd made and was shocked by it, apologised immediately, met the Jewish community and has been applauded since for learning the lesson.
Learning the
That's
lesson.
That's what I want Ken to do.
And the lesson is, don't ever speak about Israel. Don't ever speak about Germany in the 1930s, the Nazis, the Havre Agreement. Don't speak about any of that. Don't say anything negative about Israel or you'll be destroyed. You'll be destroyed. And we lamented on this programme many weeks ago, maybe even several months ago, when all of this blew up about anti-Semitism in the Labour Party. Jeremy went on the Andrew Marr show, the Sunday morning BBC flagship politics show, the Marr show, the Andrew Marr show, and mumbled and stuttered his way through a speech about how anti-Semitism is evil and it's got to be rooted out. And at no time did Jeremy Corbyn stand, look Andrew Marr in the eye and say, nonsense, I'm not going to tolerate that garbage from a BBC presenter, a Sky presenter, Channel 4 or anybody else. If any member of this party, this political party, wants to criticise the behaviour of the Israeli government, of the Zionist, racist, apartheid Israeli government, if they want to do that, they should be allowed to do it without being accused of anti-Semitism. But he threw Livingston under a bus, as George Galloway said on this programme 2 weeks ago. So I would have asked Piers politely and gently, how could he be anti-establishment, Jeremy Corbyn? How could he possibly be anti-establishment when he bowed down at a rate of knots the minute anti-Semitism was mentioned last year, instead of with the public persona he has now, with the access that he has now as Labour leader, instead of taking it head on and saying, no, don't start that bollocks with me. Where there is hatred of Jewish people for no reason, we'll condemn it. Where Jewish people are name-called or ridiculed or attacked violently for no reason, where headstones are damaged and vandalised in cemeteries in Manchester, we'll stand up to that and we'll call it out for what it is. But when one of my politicians talks about a historic fact, something that took place in Germany in the 1930s, you or nobody else will tell me that that person has to be suspended from my party. What did Jeremy do? We'll root out anti-Semitism wherever we find it. Anti-Semitism is wrong. Nobody's been anti-Semitic, though. You know? Livingston, I don't like Ken Livingston. I've no time for him at all. I've met Livingston before, interviewed him before, and he's another nasty piece of work, Livingston. Nasty, nasty little man. Says the right things, and probably, I suppose, over the years, over the course of his career, you can probably say many of the causes that he stood for, I would agree with him and I would applaud him for that. But personality-wise, another spiteful little bastard. Livy, I never had any time for him. But in this issue, he's absolutely right. Nothing he said was anti-Semitic. And I'm not having this nonsense today by anybody in the Labour Party saying that we're the anti-establishment party. No, you're not. I'll believe it when I see it. 15 minutes to the top of the hour. This is your Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2 and Alternate Current Radio. Good to be with you. Piers Corbyn is a no-show then, I'm afraid.
America. time to come home.
Joel and My Life on the Richie Allen Show, 11 minutes to the top of the hour. Welcome back. We're not going to have Piers Corbyn this hour, sadly. I can only put it down to somebody from the Labour Party has been in touch with him. This has happened a lot over the years. Not with him, I have to hasten to add there, but with siblings of politicians in general. It can happen, this, when you're doing programmes like that. It was pretty powerful stuff in the Telegraph today. Like I said, picked up by newspapers across the country on their websites, the comments made by Piers Corbyn to the Telegraph. I think I've tweeted the article out. In fact, the wonders of modern technology, I can do it now. So in case you haven't seen it, it's on our Facebook page, but I've just tweeted it out there. The headline: Jeremy Corbyn's brother calls BBC evil for criticising Labour leader, but says he'll win the election anyway. And they pretty much behave themselves, the Telegraph. They stick pretty much to the quotes they got in the telephone call to Piers Corbyn. I spoke with him earlier, and he said it was a telephone interview with the Telegraph journalist yesterday, somebody called Robert Mendick, who rang him up, and it seems they just stuck to the facts, the Telegraph. They just put it out there. This is what he said. He mentioned Donald Trump, did Piers Corbyn. He said, He said Jeremy Corbyn would use social media and alternative news outlets to get his message across and win over the voters, just like Donald Trump did in the US election. I found that particularly interesting, as you might imagine, the alternative news outlets, because when Jeremy Corbyn was running to secure the Labour leadership against Yvette Cooper and Liz Kendall and God knows who else, I can't remember now. But when he was doing that, I extended an invitation to the Labour, to his team, to ask him to come on the programme for an hour to talk about these issues. And they sent me a polite but short email saying that he would only be doing nationally recognised media and effectively mainstream programmes, ironically, which didn't do him any harm because he won the leadership contest pretty much in a landslide, and he was re-elected when he was challenged in what amounted to a landslide as well. And it's why I continue to say on this programme, not every single show, not every week, not even every month, but there is no alternative to the system. Not Jeremy, not anybody else, not Bernie Sanders, not anybody. You see it with Trump, particularly with Trump, and amazingly, today people are still defending the indefensible. The man who would get a special prosecutor to look into Hillary Clinton's situation. The man who would have good relations with Russia. The man who would move America away from its interventionist policies. The man who is now threatening North Korea. The man who is now threatening Russia. It doesn't matter to these people. They get fooled every time. should listen to some Roger Daughtry and Pete Townsend, maybe. You know, we won't get fooled again. I don't know what year that song was written. We get fooled time and time and time again. Corbyn has a massive mandate from the people who joined up to the party to vote for him. A massive anti-austerity mandate. Anti-war mandate. Nationalisation mandate. All the things Corbyn used to sing about, to talk about when he was a backbencher, that he doesn't do so well now. 6.5 minutes to the top of the hour. This is your Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2 and Alternate Current Radio. Just another quick plug for The Boiler Room on ACR, that programme at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, New York City, at 2 a.m. UK time if you are a late owl. A late owl? If you are a night owl, that's right. If you're a late bird, if you stay up late. In this country, it's a programme worth listening to. Terrific cast of commentators on The Boiler Room on Alternate Current Radio. 6 minutes to the top of the hour. A lot of comments coming in on Twitter. Mark, conversations going on there, by the way, on Twitter. To converse with others, just go to Twitter, put Richie Allen Show in, press enter. You can see what people are tweeting to me now. Hi to Mark Morrison, to Lance Burkett, to Gail as well, to Brian, to Claire Conway. How are you doing, Claire? Looking forward to hearing Field, Richie. Always informative and inspirational, Field McConnell. Do you know, I looked at the diary today. Field was last on this programme, I'm ashamed to say it, just over a year ago. It's a long time. No reason for that. It's just, you know, we do four shows a week, two guests on average. A lot of people to get through. It's been a long time since he was on. Look forward to getting back on in the second hour. Yeah. Right, hi to JP, by the way, in Manchester, and to Alex Doust as well. It's exactly 4 minutes to the top of the hour. Yeah, so Field McConnell will be on. We're going to talk about a number of different things with Field McConnell. Institutional paedophilia is one of them. You might be surprised to learn. He's involved in a group that was recently set up that's having a big meeting in Scotland in about a month or so from now. We'll talk about George H.W. Bush, George H.W. Bush Sr. Field has been writing a lot and talking a lot about him. Anybody who's read David Icke over the years will know that a long time ago, David Icke outed George H.W. Bush as a serial paedophile. We're going to talk about his illness. We'll talk about possibly about Pizzagate. I know Fields had a lot to say about that and how certain independent media commentators in the United States are not talking about that so much. You know what I think about that? I don't know. I really don't. I'm always cautious. Same with Hampstead Heath. You know, I was cautious. I still am. I don't know what went on there. It doesn't suit people when you don't agree with them. When Hampstead Heath came up and I interviewed the why has my mind gone blank now? Hang on a second here now. The mind has gone totally blank. Sabine McNeil, of course. Lovely woman. I had Sabine on the programme. We talked a little bit about that. And I said after that, that things like the Hampstead allegations, I wonder, you know, the mendacity and the hatefulness of the system can manifest itself in ways that hoaxes are thrown out there to shift the attention away from genuine abuse, genuine satanic paedophilia, and people fall for the hoaxes. Now, by saying that, I never said that the Hampstead Heath claims were a hoax. I never did. I just said I wonder about it. It didn't suit people. You're supposed to just agree with all of this. The Pizzagate allegations, again, I read the emails. Some very strange things in those emails. I'd be the first to admit that. We've talked about it on this programme quite a bit. But again, I don't know. You wouldn't put it past the system to do that. You know, to put this stuff out there. And then it, through its whores in the media, some of the people we mentioned earlier on and yesterday, they can point fingers and say, look at these idiots. Look at this conspiracy crap. Look at this madness. And that's what they do. But I'm not saying Hampstead, I'm not saying Pizzagate is or was a hoax at all. I'm saying I don't know. I've seen no evidence. Just heard the stories, watched the YouTube videos like you and like everybody else. I'm going to take a very quick break. The Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com. 2 minutes to the top of the hour. Field McConnell coming up in about 10 minutes' time.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Virtually every transaction that involves a child is valuable to somebody.
We intend to show everyone the real reason children are being removed at an alarming rate.
No, this is awful.
The baby's not been seen by the dots or nothing.
They are psychopathic.
They have got the legal right to kill children now, because that's what they're doing.
Traffic 2, available now at premillionpictures.co.uk.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now. Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is The Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com. Richie Allen.
Welcome back. It's exactly the top of the hour. It is Thursday, April 20th, 2017. Let me give a shout out to Simon Stewart, who manages our YouTube channel. All of our interviews are archived there. We had a terrific conversation last night with an educational psychologist called Catherine Hannaford, eminently qualified woman. Brilliant stuff about education, its impact on children, on children's mental health. We talked about smartphones, tablets, computers. We talked about medication, vaccines, much more besides. That's been on YouTube since early today. So go to youtube.com, look for it. It's on our Facebook page and share it around. She'll be invited back again in the future, Catherine. Terrific stuff. And we had a very interesting chat with Khalid Khan from UKIP. All of our interviews, as I said to repeat, archived on our YouTube channel. 60,000 subscribers to that channel and growing at a rate of about 2,000 a month, which is fantastic, meaning that these interviews with these amazing men and women are being heard. Not my gobby Irish voice. I'm not important. The people who come on this programme, all those interviews archived at youtube.com. Subscribe to it, but don't depend on your subscription to guarantee those videos showing up in your feed. They don't. This is how the system plays games as well. It's like Facebook. Used to be, if you subscribe to a YouTube channel and you logged on to YouTube, your subscriptions, the videos would all appear on your homepage. They don't anymore. So you've got to go and look for them. So go to youtube.com, look for The Richie Allen Show, and subscribe there. 2 minutes past the hour. Do you know, I've not played this song for a long time. This is Jura from Gareth Ike. And the reason I'm playing it is, saw a tweet from Gareth today. He's off to Gothenburg to join up with David Ike, his dad, who of course is there for the Worldwide Wake Up Tour. Gareth will be playing some music before, during and after David speaks in Gothenburg. His most recent album is absolutely terrific, including this song called Jura, which I like a lot. So when we come back from this, we'll have Field McConnell on The Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.
Far from open arms, Christmas, these foggies north will give him something to cling on. Jura, jura, jura. This water rising up can sweep you down into the depths. All these words you left unspoken fill a harbor of regrets. Jura, jura, jura.
The album is called Three. The song is Jura on the Richie Allen Show. Terrific song, that. Yeah, there's gremlins in the works everywhere today, I think. I don't know. I don't think it's a full moon. Not that I know anything about astrology or astrological happenings. No idea what goes on in the night sky. I have no idea. I don't know if there's any truth to that either, when it is a full moon, that things are weird and people behave badly. And weirdly, I've no idea if that's true. I'm sure there are the superstitious amongst us, amongst you, who do believe in things like that. 7 minutes past the hour, shortly, a couple of minutes time, we're off to Plum City in the US to chat with Field McConnell. Can't wait to do that. So there you go. So we're back to normal. Just want to tell you a little bit about the television show, the eagle-eared, the fox-eared, the owl-eared, the pussycat-eared amongst you remembered me saying just before I took my week off that we would begin the television programme this week. In fact, we were supposed to do it tonight from BVTV Studios. But I've had a good chat with Hayden Hewitt, and I will be speaking with him again tomorrow. I'm going to take a drive to the studios tomorrow. And with everything that's going on with Google and YouTube and the monetization of the program, which is a big problem for us. I'm not going to get into it now. I spoke about it a couple of weeks back. I'm not going to speak about it again today. We've not shelved the television program, but for a couple of weeks while we figure out what to do about it and about financially stabilizing this program after what happened with the Google, whatever you pronounce it, he says, having promised himself that he would stop swearing, occasionally swearing, occasional Tourette's. But anyway, because of that and the impact on us and on what we do, because it was basically covering the expenses of the programme, covering the production cost of the programme, and a small salary for me, but it isn't now, obviously, because it's gone, because they've effectively demonetized everything owing to claims that some of the major advertisers didn't want their products associated with extremist content. Ironically, the people behind YouTube, the people who work for Google, came back to us and said, no, you're fine, your channel is fine, it's in good standing in the community and there isn't any issue with your content. The fact is, while we continue to place advertisements on our interviews, those ads are not playing when people listen to our interviews and we're not getting any revenue. That's the way it is. So because of that and the difficulty of that, we're just going to have a think about the television show for the moment. So it's not going to be on tonight, obviously, because I'm here, and it won't be on next Thursday either. Like I said, one or two of you were sharp and said to me yesterday, aren't you supposed to be doing the television show at BVTV tomorrow live? I'm not, because of the reason I just gave you there. We'll talk more about that in due course. And one or two ideas that we have for the funding of this particular program to keep it on air. Things were going along nicely, nearly 3 hours on air, and this massive problem with Google has obviously caused us to have a kind of a minor panic. We got over the minor panic. We got over that. Now we have to look at ways around it. What can we do around it? So in the meantime, I don't have the time to produce and edit a television programme full of video clips and images by myself, which I do. I don't have time to do that, so we've got to have a rethink about that. Alrighty, okay, 11 minutes past the hour. Let's see, can we get the great man himself, Field McConnell, on the line. I've mentioned so many times before, a vastly experienced aviator, commercial and military. I think he's flown everything that's ever been built for over 5 decades. He blew the whistle on the Boeing Uninterruptible Autopilot. That's a massive story, which as far as I know has never been covered by the mainstream media. The implementation of that technology being put into planes and what have you. Listen, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm getting a phone call there. It might be relevant to the programme. I'm going to take another break. Sorry about that. Let me take a quick break. Back in a minute with more.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Virtually every transaction that involves a child is valuable to somebody.
We intend to show everyone the real reason children are being removed at an alarming rate.
No, this is awful.
The baby's not been seen by the dots or nothing.
They are psychopathic.
They have got the legal right to kill children now, because that's what they're doing.
Traffic 2.
Available now at premiumonpictures.co.uk.
Right, welcome back.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
That's all going off there. Piers Corbyn trying to call me there during that brief link I was doing. I've tried to call him back to rearrange something, but I can't get him now. He's gone again. So we're just going to carry on as we were going to do. Mentioned just before the break there, the terrific career of Field McConnell. Outstanding career as a naval aviator, as a commercial aviator. Flown everything, as I said before the break, that's ever gotten off the ground. Extraordinary man. All that work with the Boeing uninterruptible autopilot, blowing the whistle on that. These days, though, I've never asked him, has he flown? Or has he continued to fly, even as a hobby? He's a journalist, and he's doing some terrific work with Able Danger. And, of course, I'm going to put the Able Danger website details out there for you now. He's a regular visitor to this country, and he's going to be back again real soon in Scotland talking about institutional child abuse and paedophilia. And I want to talk to him a little bit about that. Let's welcome back to the programme our friend Field McConnell. Field, welcome back. How are you?
Well, Richie, I'm very well, very happy. I'm very busy, and I want to thank you. I don't know how you heard that I was going to be doing a radio show today with a survivor named Sandy, a man who appears to be probably about 60, who was the target of sexual abuse in care homes. And I just made a closing statement on my radio show that the forces across the Atlantic and around the world are pushing back against this dam of suppression of truth. And you're right that I'm going to be at the Alternative View Conference, May 19th to May 22nd. You're absolutely right that I'm a frequent visitor to your shores. My wife is from England. My wife found out about me partially through you, Richie. I think you and I did a radio show about Malaysia 370, and there's absolutely no ego in what I do. I was called to expose evil, and I want to congratulate you for joining me in trying to expose evil. And I'm ready to answer any questions you may have, Richie. Over to you.
Brilliant. Listen, I've never been modest, but I must just point out, I don't expose anything. I give a platform to people like you who do the research, and you have the contacts, and I'll always be glad to do that. It's an honour to do it, Field. I'm blessed to be able to do it. The Fresh Start Foundation and institutional paedophilia. I want to ask you your opinion on a couple of things. You mentioned on, and people should go to abledanger.net, that's Field's website, bookmark it and keep it close by, terrific website. You mentioned recently on there, you talked a little bit about George H.W. Bush, who has pneumonia. Now, I don't know whether you know or not, but David Icke, many years ago, in a book called The Biggest Secret, named George H.W. Bush as a serial paedophile and somebody who was part of a major international paedophile ring operating out of D.C. What do you know, Field, about the paedophile networks working out of D.C. today? Pizzagate, which has caused some controversy because, you know, we have alternative media commentators saying Pizzagate is a real phenomenon. It's a real thing. Others are saying it's a hoax. Talk to me a little bit about that and your interest in it.
Well, let me, I'll go right to the soundbite. The first soundbite I'll give you is that I'm not saying my name because I have an ego. I'm saying my name because I'm putting this exposure on my shoulders, and my God will protect me. But on the 21st of August of 2014, I was in an open court in Pierce County, Wisconsin, I was unfortunately in the jury box where they had 12 jurors selected. We had about 30 alternate jurors who were about to be excused. And just before the judge was going to excuse them, he said, are any of you 12 that are on the jury, do any of you 12 have a personal relationship with pedophilia? And I raised my hand, and the judge looked at his cheat sheet. You know, they don't have any memories better than ours, so he has everybody's name on a piece of paper. And he said, Mr. McConnell, do you have a personal history with pedophilia? I said, yes, Judge. My sister, Christine Marcy, operates the biggest global net-centric pedophile ring in the world. And that is called Pedogate. And in North America or the United States, it's referred to as Pizzagate. But 3 years ago, I testified in open court that my sister, Christine Marcy, aided by Hillary Clinton and some other evil parties, have been trafficking children around the world using government assets and government money. And that's bullet number one. Bullet number two is, you mentioned David Icke and George H.W. Bush. Let me touch on that, because I've exposed them over and over. And it's not because I take joy in exposing these people, but I've been called to do it, as I believe you have been. But in the case of G.H.W. Bush, any of your listeners on either side of the Atlantic could Google G.H.W. Bush plus White House plus Callboys plus 1989. And this was on the front page of the Washington newspapers in June of 1989. And what was going on is G.H.W. Bush, I will offer an opinion that Warren Buffett was involved, but the Nebraska Boys Home was sending orphans, residents of the orphanage, which is called Boys Town, they were sending them from Lincoln, Nebraska, through Offutt Air Force Base to Andrews Air Force Base, to not only the White House, but also to a building in Washington, D.C., which is called the Naval Observatory. And that's the official residence of the vice president, historically, including today.
Sorry, Field, yeah. Now, just two things before we talk about the types of people who might have been attending these parties. I'm just going to make two ground rules for both of us, not for... Field has mentioned his sister on this program before, and he has mentioned her, as he said, in open court. He's mentioned her publicly for many years in the US and on his own programs. Obviously, I wasn't born yesterday. I'm an experienced journalist and presenter. We endeavoured, the very first time Field made allegations about his sister on this programme, we endeavoured to make contact with her. This is going back a while now, to get her side of the story. And we never received any correspondence back. This isn't new. Some of our listeners will be shocked. They might not have heard this before. They might not have heard of the allegations that Field has made about his sister. Just before we talk about the parties, I don't want us to mention anybody else by name. We can mention George Bush in that, but I don't want to mention any other businessmen and women. But Field, what sort of relationship? This might sound like the dumbest question ever asked by a presenter, but when was the last time you heard from your sister? Has she ever tried to take you to task or to go after you because of the things you've said about her?
No, she's really naive, like many pedophiles in government are. When I started working daily with David Hawkins, a brilliant Brit with an education from Cambridge, when we were put together 10 and a half years ago, she found out that we were writing about her. And I believe the month was March of 2007. And it's really easy for her to find out we're writing about her because we're very public. It turns out that her husband, he really liked our writing because of the very odd and maybe vulgar way I was writing it. But I had to get a message out without getting a bullet through my head. And so I used a couple of unfortunate metaphors and writing techniques that have provided me with safety. And very early on, probably in March or April of 2007, my sister called me and said, Field, where are you getting this information you're writing about? And I said, I'm getting it from David Hawkins, who has the highest academic standard of anybody who's graduated from Cambridge in the last 100 years. And she says, well, when I was at the Department of Justice, where she was, and she was working against the United States while she was there, and that's not my opinion, that's a fact. But when she was at the Department of Justice, she told me that they got 200 to 300 communications a day alleging the type of stuff that David Hawkins and I were alleging. And as if she thought that was going to quiet me down, I said to my sister, listen, Chris, I'm your own brother. You're not fooling me one iota. I said, you've never had the type of communications that David and I are not only putting out today, but we will continue to put them out. And she has not called me or talked to me for 4 years. She's been out of my life so distantly and for such a long time.
And she never got a, she never got a lawyer onto you, Field. She never sent you, never.
She cannot do that because it's not libel if it's true, correct?
Yeah, and I want to just point out again, one of the reasons I think, you know, we get on, you know that we run a professional program here. I mean, this is very dangerous stuff. Most presenters, you know, I would say to any presenter starting out, don't talk about this and be fair and be honest. I mean, I've got to point out that Field's sister has never been arrested, never been charged with anything. I've also got to point out that Hillary Clinton has never been arrested, never been investigated, and has never been charged with any crimes against children whatsoever. And I must point out again, doing due diligence, that when the Clintons have been accused of these crimes in the past, and I've got the emails to prove it, I've contacted their various offices and asked for a comment, and I have never received an answer. Not even one of those go away type answers. You know, will you ever just fuck off kind of an answer? And nobody's ever said anything to me. Most So I have to say, not because I'm trying to cover my arse, Hillary Clinton is not here to defend herself. Obviously, she never will be here on a programme like this. But I must point out she's never been arrested, never been charged, never been suspected by the authorities of doing any of the things that she's been accused of by Field and by others. Tell me, my friend, what is the document, and I mean the physical hard evidence, that links the likes of Hillary Clinton to crimes against children?
Well, I just mentioned one. That's testimony in open court. There would be court records of the 21st of August of 2014. The brilliant researcher in my world is not me. I'm sort of a communicator, as are you. But I'm surrounded by volunteer researchers around the world, literally many of them in the UK, most principally David Hawkins, who's a Brit living in British Columbia, Canada. I have people that are cooperating in the research that have different lifestyles than I do. They're different colors than I am. They're from different countries than I am. And as far as evidence, the people like my sister, Christine Marcy, and the people like Hillary Clinton, and the people like George H.W. Bush, they control their countries. And by the way, when I come over to UK to speak on the 21st of May, I've been asked by someone you know to make the topic of my discussion global pedophilia as a control mechanism for the Western world's governments. But see, the courts are controlled by, well, now we're going to get into something interesting. I believe that the Crown, the monarch of England, through the Crown agents, in cooperation with the global bankers, many of which are represented in the city of London, which is sovereign territory, and the Jesuit branch of the Vatican. And the Jesuits are, according to my understanding, and I'd welcome a response pro or con from you, but the Jesuit branch of the Vatican is a military and intelligence organization. But because of the immense power worldwide of the UK government, the US government, And the people that pull their strings and the string pullers are members of what was supposed to be the New World Order. But I believe that's been defeated, and we are gonna have some very positive changes coming in the United States of America within the next 2 weeks, I'd like to think.
There are a lot of people, right? There are a lot of, as far as I understand, and you're in the US, I'm not, but as far as I understand it, there are a lot of people. Now, whether they are credible or not, I can't say because I've not spoken to them. But there are a lot of people, men and women, some of them professional men and women, who have made serious allegations against some of the very high-profile people we've mentioned. I understand that this is true, and I know you've heard from some of these people. So what we're talking about here is, we're talking about witness testimony from people, as opposed to physical evidence like photographs or videos. We're talking about men and women who have come forward to say, I was abused at a party or at an institution, and it was by a very, very senior member of government. That's what we're talking about, Field, right?
Yes, and there's numerous young men that were abused in the White House and the Naval Observatory in 1989 that have come forward. As far as being one who testifies to the truth, in our country, those people like myself are called whistleblowers, and whistleblowers are not dealt with very kindly by the government. And when I started talking about the flying events of 9/11, I almost immediately, and it wasn't immediate, it would have been within 4 days of my first public disclosure that the Boeing uninterruptible autopilot was involved in the attacks of 9/11. 4 days later, my employer, which was Northwest Airlines, which today has been merged into Delta Airlines, my employer called me and they said, we need you to stop talking about certain things. And if you don't stop talking about them, then, you know, it's well within our contract to terminate your employment. And they didn't fool me for a minute, because they can terminate my employment, but they can't change the truth. And when they played hardball with me, I retired in a 10-minute, and this is really, really worth listening to this. If you disregard everything else I say, listen to this. When the United States government goes after whistleblowers, they use a two-step process. They'll get you in front of a medical doctor to see if he can find a physical problem with you. And if they can't, like they couldn't in my case, they send you to a shrink. As the airline pilots, and there's an airline pilot in the United States of America right now that either has or will soon receive a very, very large $1 billion plus settlement because he did not cave in to the pressure. But the pressure that the United States government puts on any of us, and I could name several whistleblowers, but I'll just name myself. They tried that with me. And the end game is if they can get you in front of a shrink and the shrink can't explain to you that you better shut up, then the shrink will give a diagnosis which puts you on psychotropic drugs. And then because the shrink has given you a diagnosis and you're under the influence of these psychotropic drugs, you cannot be an expert witness in court. Now, is that new to you, Richie, or have you heard this before?
I've heard this before, and that antipsychotic medication could, in fact, and has in some cases, driven people to commit suicide or to commit murder. In which case, if they commit suicide, they're dead, they can't speak. If they commit murder, well, then they're going to prison, where something might happen to them. I want to do a quick recap. Field McConnell is back on the programme. I can't believe it's been a year since Field was on. AbleDanger.net. He's going to be in the country again real soon in Scotland. I'm going to put all the details out about that. Number of questions coming in. Whenever you come on, we get bombarded with emails and tweets. That's the truth. People can follow my Twitter feed. You'll see all the questions coming in for Field. Do you think your sister and people like her are under some sort of traumatic-based mind control?
When I know an answer, I'll give it to you. When I don't know an answer, I will admit I don't have a definite answer, but I do have an opinion. And in the case of my sister, I do have an answer. So as far as people like my sister, are they under mind control? My opinion would be some of them are, but they're under the control of whoever it was that got them on video performing a sexual act that would embarrass them if the video of the sexual act was shared with their mother or father or brother. In the case of my sister, if that happened, it would have happened in Washington, D.C. or Honolulu, Hawaii. And the reason I say that is her behavior was turning rather bizarre when she was a college student in Washington, D.C. And I think she was mixing with some people that weren't the type that my parents would like her to mix with. So they put their foot down and they said, we're pulling you out of college in Washington and you can complete your college education at our expense, but you have to do it at the University of Hawaii and you have to live in our home. And so, and just to be very specific and demonstrate recall, our home was Beard Avenue. The street address was 105 Beard Avenue, Hickam Air Force Base, which is just outside Honolulu, Hawaii. And so my sister finished her college education while living at 105 Beard Avenue, Hickam Air Force Base, and she continued her education at the University of Hawaii, where her major was French. Well, I know that there's a CIA office, and let me clear something up for people in both the United States and across the pond in Europe. The CIA, and now this brings in George H.W. Bush again, but the CIA is actually an organization that's loyal to the British government, not, or the global cabal, take your pick.
To the crown, do you mean to the crown, Field?
Yeah, yes, I do. I meant to the crown, the monarch, whether it's a queen or a king.
Yeah.
Let me put that back on you. Were you aware of that before, that the CIA is a crown organization?
No, I mean, my knowledge of this subject comes through originally reading a book written by David back in 1998, The Biggest Secret, which named very high-profile people whom were alive at the time. It's an extraordinary book, and for me, it's you know, if anybody wants to start getting into this particular subject, they need to read that book, particularly here in well, no matter whether you're in the UK or in America. That's how I came to know about this and how I came to understand the power of the European royal families, the British royal family, their interbreeding with the banking families, the Zionist banking families. I would have known nothing about any of this were it not for my introduction to David Field. But you've been interested in this a lot longer than I have. So you're even further ahead of the game than I am. Like I said, David is, for me, the definitive expert on this. But you've done an awful lot of research yourself on it, and people don't know this stuff, and it's stuff when you get into it that it scares people, and it scares people away from programs like this. They don't want to think about this sort of thing. They don't want to think about the reality. I mean, you mentioned the royal family. You know, I've just had an email from somebody. It's an anonymous account who says, Richie, you don't often mention that the royal family, the British royal family, the Queen and Prince Philip, still have questions to answer about children that went missing from a school in British Columbia in Canada in 1964. Now that's the end of the email. I know they're referring to the Kamloops Catholic school where the Queen and Prince Philip took children out on a picnic and those children never returned. And I believe that to be true. Or at least I believe those children did go missing and the Queen and Prince Philip would be material witnesses to the disappearance of those children, meaning, at the very least, they should have been interviewed about what happened on that bloody picnic. This is deep stuff, Field, you know? This is as deep as it gets, right?
As far as Prince Philip and the Queen and Western Canada, the proof has been established by digging up the remains of children. And I believe the children's remains were found in mass graves. In other words, there might be 30 or 50 sets of skeletal remains. And the same remains or the same type of remain discovery took place a number of years ago in Ireland, where two teenage boys were playing around a cistern. They accidentally came across the remains of, I think the number is 700 children. And I don't have the name of the Irish care home or orphanage at the tip of my tongue, but it's a very well-known, proven story. And so, yes, Prince Philip and the Queen have some they have some difficult questions to answer.
Well, do you know, do you know what? They are the last people to see those children alive. Now, in any murder investigation, you know, you don't have to be Lieutenant Columbo. The first person you want to speak to is the last person who saw the victim alive. I'm not saying the Queen and Prince Philip did anything. I'm saying that there are serious questions to be answered. You're talking about the Bon Secours home in Tuam in Galway. I've been talking about that on the programme recently with the whistleblower, with the journalist who uncovered that story, where 800 babies were dumped into the ground. God knows how those babies died, and young children. You're absolutely right to bring that up. Here's a brilliant question that's been on my mind since we started talking. Listeners are getting involved in this. You've flown everything that can move. I mean, nobody could challenge your credentials as an aviator. Tell me about the logistics of these paedophile rings flying children around domestically, within countries and internationally. How could they get away with it, Field? How could it be done as easily as it seems to have been done by these paedophiles? How have they managed it? And I'm asking this for the sceptics who are listening to the programme and they think, I can't believe that children were taken to parties and to the White House and places like that. Logistically, it couldn't be done. Explain why you think it can be done.
I know it's been done. The children that were taken from the boys' home, it's called Boys Town in Lincoln, Nebraska. There was a wonderful movie in the 40s about that, and it starred Bing Crosby as Father Whoever. But the children, the adolescent males, very easily, without any paper tracks, could have been flown on U.S. Air Force transport aircraft from Offutt Air Force Base right into Andrews Air Force Base, and there'd be no monitoring of that. Now, in later days, and I'm talking, the Franklin cover-up was supposed to be handled by a U.K. movie production company, movie for TV, actually. And within probably a week of its being aired, they were scared off and told never to publish what you've recorded.
Yeah.
In later days, during my sister's age of influence, she was at one point in charge of the U.S. Marshals Service, which has their own airline, and it's called JPATS, which is Joint Automated Booking System. But everyone in your listeners would know it as Con Air, which is short for Convict Airline. And so my sister had the authority. She was at the top of the food chain in the U.S. Marshals Service, which owned and operated Con Air. And they, you know, they can conceal what they're doing. In fact, I would say on both sides of the Atlantic, our governments are concealing what they're doing. And as far as right now today in 2017, you could move children around the world because our military is bought and paid for by Serco. And that's not my opinion. That is a fact. If anyone wishes, let me spell Serco because some people still haven't. It's hilarious. I think it's hilarious on one hand and sad. But if you go to YouTube and put in Serco, the biggest company you'd never heard of, it's spelled S-E-R-C-O. Serco operates the entire Department of Defense. Serco operates the Defense Ammunition Center. Serco effectively operates the black hats in the military. But I've got some distressing news for the black hats in the U.S. military. The white hats are winning. That's a rather vague statement. Let me put some teeth into that statement, Richie. No later than September of 2016, Barack Obama, who went to my high school, Punahou School in Hawaii, and when he went there, he was registered as Barry Soetoro, S-O-E-T-O-R-O, Indonesian Muslim. Now, when I went to Punahou School, I was registered as Field McConnell, USA Christian. I haven't changed. I'm still, and I wasn't a Christian then. I did attend church at a Protestant church, so that I was judged incorrectly to be a Christian. But I am a Christian now, and that's why I have the nerve to talk so openly and directly, and I appreciate you having me on. But my sister, Christine Marcy, gave Barry Swatero his passport in 1994. And my sister has been in many different bureaucracies or bureaus or branches of the U.S. government. And everywhere she goes, she has participated in treason and evil. And ultimately, these people, they've gotten away with it for a long, long time.
Well, this is the question. Let me jump in there, because this is hugely important.
Yes.
When you say they've gotten away with it, so again, I've got to remind our listeners, I know they're not stupid, but it's important for context. We're talking to a man, a highly decorated naval aviator who spent years in commercial aviation. And he's telling, Field McConnell is telling the authorities, this is what I know to be true. So what do the relevant authorities say to Field McConnell then? Did they come back and say, we've had a look at that, Field, that's just nonsense, stop wasting our time? What do they do with the information you give them?
They don't know what to do, Richie. That's proven by the fact they've done nothing. They have done something. Do you know that my wife is not allowed into the U.S. presently?
I didn't know that, no.
Yeah, my wife and I, and once again, we met maybe because of the influence of your show where you hosted me over Malaysia 370. My wife, whose name is Denise McConnell, she found out about me probably through your show or some other interview where I'm being interviewed about Malaysia 370. And subsequent to that, her finding out about me, I ended up being called over to Malaysia. I left Minneapolis on the 15th of April of 2014, and I arrived back in Minneapolis on the 20th of April. I had a really quick trip down to Malaysia because elements of their government and the leadership of their airline, Malaysia Airline Systems, they could not believe that on the very day that Malaysia 370 went down, supposedly, which it did not, we put out a YouTube, and I'll do this as slowly as I can so your listeners can verify this. If they go to YouTube and search for Boeing, B-O-E-I-N-G, Uninterruptible Autopilot, they will see what we put out. It says we put it out on the 9th of March of 2014. So it says we did it a day afterwards. No, we did it the same day. But because of the international dateline, there was some technological confusion of what was going on. But let's suffice it to say that over 3 years and 1 month ago, we being Able Danger, but I'll put it on my shoulders to protect the other people, Field McConnell put out a YouTube that got the attention of the Malaysian government, the Malaysian airline system. I went over there, and I'm going to say something that may offend atheists, but thank God, before I went over there, I put in writing, and I directed it to my host, plural, H-O-S-T-S. I said, when I come over there to speak to you, I'm going to tell you the two modifications to aircraft that are illegal that resulted in your aircraft being taken off course, electronically commandeered it was, and taken to a safe landing at a known destination. But then it'll be incumbent upon you, and I'm talking about the Malaysian government and the Malaysian airline system. I say, if you don't publish the truth, then you should fully expect to have a second explosive event by 1900 hours on the 17th of July of 2014. So to summarize, March 29th, I send a letter after I've accepted the invitation to come over and speak, but before I traveled, I sent them a public notice that if they don't come to grips with what happened to Malaysia 370, they should expect a second explosive event no later than 1900 on the 17th of July.
I want to endorse that, by the way, because I know this to be true. And we had a conversation about this, which is on my YouTube channel. It's also on the Able Danger YouTube channel. What Field is claiming there, I know this to be true. It's extraordinary, but it's true, yeah.
Your listeners around the world can prove it to themselves by Googling MH370 plus second explosive event plus Able Danger plus 1900 on the 17th of July of 2014. And you'll see time-dated evidence that I did, in fact, present that to them in writing. And the punchline to all this, and thank you for supporting my testimony, Richie, but the punchline is that at 1735 on the 17th of July of 2014, Malaysia 17 went down over Donetsk, Ukraine. And there's probably people that think, you know, who is Field McConnell that he could see into the future? I put it in writing. That didn't mean I knew it to be true. But after I put in writing, the bad parties or the evil parties made it true. In other words, they had to get rid of the evidence of Malaysia 370, and they elected to allow me to provide cover for them because I said they would have verbatim. I said, you're going to have a second explosive event no later than 7 p.m. or 1900 hours on the 17th of July, and it happened. Richie, over to you.
You and I have done programs on this and the Boeing uninterruptible autopilot and why pilots should not commandeer a plane with that technology on board and its possible use in assassinations and 9/11. This is vital stuff. Abledanger.net. In the three, because we've only got 3-4 minutes left before we end. We finish at the top of the hour. In that short bit of time we have left, what does Andy Peacher and the good folks responsible for the event in Scotland, the Fresh Start Foundation, what are you guys hoping to achieve with that? What do you want to do? Is it an awareness event? Is it to talk about strategies to get this information to the public? What do you hope to do with it, Field?
Well, I think that our purpose has already been accomplished. We have put the United States government and the UK government on notice that we collectively are not going to put up with this stuff. And fortunately, after the Fresh Start conference was published, then Theresa May, that's Theresa with an H, T-H-E-R-E-S-A, she came out with this election. She's calling for a general election on the 8th of June. Now, is she doing that to try to dismantle Brexit, or is she doing that to try to encourage the Scots to leave UK, or is she doing it because she wants to be out of office when the blank hits the fan? And the blank is going to hit the fan because globally, good people, including yourself, including my wife, Denise, myself, Andy Peacher, Sandy, who is just on my radio show, and David Scott, the good people are gathering their strength. They're cooperating. They're speaking with a single voice that we will not tolerate pedophile-friendly governments, and we want pedophiles to be given justice, whatever that means in the courts of your land.
You know, Field, it's an extraordinary thing to be in the United Kingdom and to have almost blanket daily coverage on our newspapers, positive stories about the royal family, how wonderful they are, how important they are for humanity. And yet I can say something without fear of contradiction and without fear of being sued for libel. The royal family have been connected, whether it's through Anthony Blunt, whether it's through Jimmy Savile or Jeffrey Epstein, to serial paedophiles. Serial paedophiles have had access to the inner sanctum of the British royal family, not to mention the fact that we have that Kamloops school, Catholic school in British Columbia with all those children going missing. It's truly extraordinary to me that there hasn't been more of a reaction from the people of the country. And I'm talking about the people who don't listen to David Icke, who don't listen to radio shows like this, who don't know about Field McConnell. People who are mainstream people, they haven't reacted. And I can only put it down to the way the British newspapers and radio, national radio and television programmes, keep putting out stories about it all being a big hoax. And that's what you're fighting against. You and Mr. Peacher and everybody else and all the victims, that's what they're fighting against, is this tidal wave of propaganda that says satanic paedophilia, institutional paedophilia, is nothing but a hoax. It's a crazy hoax. That's what you're fighting against. I'm going to give you the final word on it, and then we're going to have to wrap for tonight. Go ahead, Field.
Well, I just give you my final word is that I want to thank you very much for hosting me, especially on short notice. And together, the people that are willing to either demonstrate their expertise. In fact, somebody's calling. Let me decline that. There we go. Oh, that's a pretty important call. That's somebody who has just recently gotten out of federal prison. So I will say that I recognize that it takes courage on your part or David Icke's part. But it doesn't take any courage on my part. I've been called to do this. I'm protected. And if I were to slip on a banana peel, 10,000 people would stand up and said, we want answers to Field McConnell's questions.
Listen, look after yourself. I certainly won't be leaving it as long to get in touch again. That conference is I'm sure it'll be a big success in Scotland. I think David recorded some video for it. And other people did, a lot of guests there as well, talking about a very serious subject. Thanks for coming on, Field. Abledanger.net. Godspeed to you. I'm not going to mention your Hawaii 5-0 ringtone. I'm not going to bring that up. That wouldn't be nice. Have a great weekend, and thanks for coming on. Talk soon.
You're very welcome, Richie. Thank you, and God bless you.
You too, and good luck to Denise, and I hope that gets sorted out, that immigration nonsense. Sorry to hear about that.
We're going to sort it out, okay. Talk to you later.
Okay, my friend. Bye for now. I wanted to mention that there, because last time we spoke, he was on video link, and his wife was in the room, Denise, listening in. By all accounts, a lovely lady. Fascinating man, Field McConnell. That's about it for the programme then. Piers Corbyn has been trying to get in touch with me throughout the second hour. I sent him a text. Hopefully, if there was a good reason why he wasn't available, we'll get him on real soon. I might even do something with him tomorrow and get it online. We might do that tomorrow because it's a big story with Piers. Do stay in touch with our broadcast partners. Just to mention again, the Boiler Room programme on Alternate Current Radio airs at 2 a.m. London time. That's 9 p.m. New York City Eastern time there. Do the mathematics. That would be 8 p.m. Central time, and it would be 6 p.m. Pacific time there. A programme worth listening to. Check out fabradiointernational.com. I've had a message from somebody who said to me, Richie, it's a bit low and it's a bit below the belt for saying that you found Ken Livingstone a nasty, spiteful type person. You might have a point there. It might not be my place to say that. And I can accept criticism. I can take it on board. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. I had an experience with Livingstone some years ago on radio. I didn't find him personally pleasant. I did state that I admire the work that he's done over the years on talking about Zionism and talking about the crimes of the State of Israel. I could admire that greatly, but I found him personally not to my liking. You might have a point. Maybe I shouldn't say that. I can take the slings and arrows. It's not my form, really. It's not my form, but I was remembering an unpleasant experience with the man. Maybe I should have kept it to myself. I'll keep that in mind in future. I can take the criticism. Enjoy the weekend. I'll be in touch with you tomorrow about Piers Corbyn and the rescheduling of that. And I will be live at 11 a.m. Sunday with Sunday View. That's this coming Sunday. Now, if you're in Gothenburg and you are going to see David Icke on Sunday, you're going to have an extraordinary experience. One you'll never forget. Enjoy it. Pay attention to it. Listen carefully. And I look forward to hearing your thoughts on social media, what you thought, what you saw, what you heard, and how you felt about it. To find out more about the Worldwide Wake Up Tour, do go to theworldwidewakeup.com. Thanks so much for listening. Big thanks to Simon Stewart for archiving the programme on YouTube. To Aaron Calland, spoke with Aaron briefly on Skype today. So unless you hear from me tomorrow, and you might do, the next time you and I talk will be on Sunday at 11 a.m. for the Sunday View programme. Look after yourselves and one another, and thank you so much for choosing this programme. It means a lot to me. More than I can ever say. Look after yourselves and one another. Bye for now. Good night. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday Talk Sunday.
We have all the time in the world. Time enough for life to unfold all the precious things love has in store. We have all love in the world. If that's all we have.